This week, we want to help you think about Easter. You may be thinking of some gifts. I know we used to always give ties to our boys, dresses to our girls. You may want to be thinking about Easter gifts. And a fantastic gift you can give, or a set of gifts, comes from He Lives. You can go to he-lives.net, and this is where you can get these necklaces and wristbands and all sorts of other things that are kind of like the cross, but not quite. They're really about the risen Christ. We've talked about them before. I think they're fantastic, and they open up dialogues with other Christians. They're a way to testify that He's risen, and they make great Easter gifts. So you may want to consider going to he-lives.net as you are thinking about your Easter gifts. Hello, and welcome to the Scriptures Are Real podcast. This is the podcast where we talk about elements of the Scriptures that help them become more real to us, because we believe that helps us draw more power out of them, and we need all the help we can get. I'm your host, Carrie Muehlstein, and I'm so thrilled to have with me today a guest that we haven't had before and that I think you're going to love. This is my friend, Rachel Reen Tucker. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, we are so glad that you're with us, and we hope, Rachel, that that you'll just tell us a little bit about yourself. So maybe I'll tell my audience, first of all, that this is part of, I'm trying every now and then to just do a podcast to introduce them to more tools to find more light coming into their life, to get more out of the Scriptures, more out of the gospel, have more light, more time for Christ, less time for worldly stuff, that kind of a thing. And I think Rachel is doing something wonderful on an Instagram account and probably other social media. I'm not so social media savvy. You'll have to tell us about that. But I met Rachel at a thing for LDS, like podcasters, online influencers, and so on. Once she showed me her Instagram account, I follow up. Man, it's just uplifting. It's just so edifying. So please tell us first a little bit about yourself, and then we can talk about what you do. But tell us about yourself, Rachel.
I am married to a really great guy. I have 4 kids. I live in Southern California. Our oldest is on a mission and gets home in 3 months and 29 days.
Oh, exciting. Where's he serving?
Nobody's counting here.
Yeah, that's right.
He's in Cancun, Mexico.
Oh, so wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. And what's your husband's name? Or maybe?
Justin. His name's Justin.
Okay. And where in Southern California do you live?
We live in Corona, which is not to be confused with Corona Del Mar, which is probably prettier. But we love where we live. It's just east of Orange County. We've got a lot of space and a great steak. And it's really nice to be here.
I lived in Corona for a week of my mission before I went down to then Lake Elsinore and then to open up Murrieta as we were trying to get ready to open up Murrieta. Yeah, yeah.
That's right. I forgot that you served here. It's a great area. It's great. Yeah. So, yeah.
Wonderful.
I'm here. We have one boy and 3 girls and just busy. Kids keep you busy.
Yeah. Ain't that the truth?
This is what we do.
Yep. Well, good. Tell us a little bit about what you do then.
So you asked if I used multiple platforms. I don't. I really just write on Instagram. In 2021, I found myself looking for a study guide of some sort where I could utilize lots of different scriptures from the Bible, but also from the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, to study gospel topics. And I really couldn't find what I was looking for. And it was a Sunday morning, and I felt the Spirit strongly say to me, "What are you doing? Just make one. Do it yourself." And you know, when you do that, you always learn more than when you create something, when you prepare a talk, whatever it is, you're always the one that ends up benefiting the most, right? So I sat down and I, over the course of a few weeks, created a study guide about divine identity and used Book of Mormon scriptures, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, the Bible, and also general conference talks. And then a couple of reflection questions to go with each day's study. It's a 6-week study guide. A little while later, I did one about becoming a woman of God. Same thing. And all of the general conference talks I used are given by women. So I started to create that way. And it just sort of evolved in me writing a daily devotional on Instagram. And it helped me realize that there are gifts that we've been given that you can discover at 44. You know, you never knew that you liked to write or that was something that would be exciting for you. But here we are. So that's kind of how I got started.
And since then, you have something every day, right? That is uplifting and edifying.
Yeah, I write every day. It's fun. It's a great outlet for me. And I'm on year three and I'm not tired of it yet. So.
Well, good. And I've just found, I mean, really for myself, I'm trying to bring more light into my life. And I just feel like however much light we're getting, we need to keep working on bringing more light in. And I've just found having a little short, easy thing that just comes to my phone because I'm following you is fantastic to just have instead of one more listening to someone argue about something on the radio or something like that as I'm driving. I just let's listen to what Rachel has to say. And it's just nice to have that that light coming in. So how do people find you then?
My handle on Instagram is @seeking_diligently. So there's an underscore there, but it's called Seeking Diligently, and that's what I do. And I love quotes from Tolstoy and C.S. Lewis and all the, I mean, there is light to be found in so many places. And that's one of the things that really I'm always seeking for truth, and truth can be found in so many places. We do not have a monopoly on truth. It can come in from lots of different places, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is where it comes all together. But I love finding little nuggets in different places. So
Oh, wonderful. And what kind of reaction have you gotten from other people?
I think mostly it's been positive. I tend to
Well,
shy
I
away.
think it's probably all positive, but I mean, it just, we'd love to hear a little bit more about it. It's maybe a better question, but.
It's funny when you start something like this. I actually have a number of close friends who kind of do what I do, but one of them just shares General Conference quotes, and people love it. Her account has an amazing following. One of them sells like little cards with "Come follow me" verses on it. So everybody has their own unique thing to share. And I have found that for me, and we'll probably dive into this a little more later in the discussion, finding things from the gospel and from the scriptures that really relate to my life, my real life, not my ideal life or just my spiritual life, but like my everyday, I locked myself in a chicken coop life. You know what I mean? Like I find myself in all these situations. And everything relates to a gospel principle somehow. So I love being able to look at the things that we do on an everyday basis, the things that happen to us, and say, okay, where's the sacrament meeting talk here? I know it's here. What, how can I draw these parallels? So that's kind of the angle that I take. And I feel like it's unique to me. We each have something unique to bring to the table. And I think that is I really enjoy finding gospel parallels to life in the scriptures and in gospel principles in general.
That's fantastic. Well, so that does lead perfectly into where we always like to go with this discussion, which is how is doing what you do made the scriptures more real to you? And you were hinting at that just now, but let's hear a little bit more.
Well, I started this Instagram account when I was about on year four of teaching early morning seminary.
Oh,
So I
there's
had
a
been.
special place in heaven for all early morning seminary teachers.
It helps that I am a morning person. If it were a late night seminary, I'd be like, I can't do this.
I recently heard that people who teach early morning seminary get to rise on the early morning of the first resurrection. So,
I'll take that. It really was one of the very best callings ever. It was so great. And it did not take me 5 minutes on my first day to realize that a number of things. First of all, getting a bunch of teenagers to listen and pay attention and engage at 6 a.m. was going to need something special. I knew I needed to learn how to teach them in a way they could understand. Like, these aren't just words on a page, these are lessons that I can apply. Right. And with teenagers, I felt like the dog and pony show sometimes, but it's so important for kids to understand that they're more than just stories. Because if they can't relate the scriptures into their lives, then they really are only stories. If they don't change us in some way, if we are not moved to act or to feel something by the scriptures, then all they are is nice stories on a page. Right. So I got really good at telling stories because I wanted them to understand how closely these ancient texts relate to our modern day lives, even high schoolers, right? And so really, my love of the scriptures, I've always loved the scriptures, but my ability to read them and say, that's for me, that's for me, that's for me, it really started with teaching seminary. I learned more than they did without question in those years. And now it affects what I do, what I write about. So that was really where it started. And it became really exciting to me to dig into the scriptures.
That's fantastic. So do you have some examples of maybe a scripture that really hit the road with, you know, or the rubber hit the road for that scripture in your life? Or
I have a couple of examples, and since he's not here and I don't have his permission right now, I will just give you a brief. My first one is sort of brief, but my son, when he decided to go on a mission, he took it really seriously. And when he got his mission call, he let us know that he wanted to open it alone and have an experience there. And we were really excited for him for that. We were totally supportive. And before he opened his mission call, he went into his room and he knelt down and he said a prayer. And then he got up from his prayer and he opened up the scriptures. He saw him laying there and he was about to open his call. And then he saw his scriptures and he just flipped them open. And his prayer had been, let me know that this is where I'm supposed to go. Just let me know that where I'm called is where I'm supposed to go. And he opened up and read a scripture. It was as though it was written only for him, not especially for him, but only for him. And it was just this moment. And I'm so grateful that he had that experience and was able to carry that onto his mission, because missions are hard. P.S. Yeah. Missions are really hard. And there have been times during his mission where he's recalled back that experience and thought, no, God told me right then, next to my bed on my knees, he told me right then that this is where I'm supposed to be. So I think there's something really powerful about getting answers from scriptures. I was in the temple last spring and had recently had a series of really impressive personal revelations, I guess, about becoming a service missionary. And I knew that this was something I needed to do, working in a really specific way. And I went to the temple because I didn't, you know, do I wait? Do I do it now? When do I do this? And I don't often open the scriptures in the celestial room. Oftentimes I just sit and enjoy being in there, but there, you know, there are scriptures everywhere. Right. And I was sitting there and there was nobody else in there, which was a little unusual. And I grabbed this set of scriptures and I just flipped. I just opened them and I landed, and I had been praying the whole day, like, when should I do this? Do, you know, am I supposed to just sign up to be a service missionary right now? I opened up the scriptures and I opened randomly to Doctrine and Covenants 75, and it's verses 1-5. Do you mind if I read that? I might
please
even
do.
Actually read 1-3.
Yeah,
so this
please
is
do.
What I read. These are the first words I read. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I who speak, even by the voice of my spirit, even Alpha and Omega, your Lord and your God, hearken, O ye who have given your names to go forth to proclaim my gospel and to prune my vineyard. Behold, I say unto you that it is my will that you should go forth and not tarry, neither be idle, but labor with your might. And I just think, really? I was asking a specific question about timing. And what I got back was, I'm your Lord and your God. Don't tarry. That's about as profound an answer. I mean, it was exactly what I needed to know, right? And I just think, I mean, you can probably tell us how many verses of scripture there are in a quad. I mean,
I don't know, but it's a lot.
What, 50,000? I don't know, something like, and I land on something so specific that answers my question perfectly. I think we need to start having more faith in the fact that our answers can come from the scriptures.
Yeah.
We pray to know things. We open up the scriptures with an open heart, ready to find an answer. We'll find our answer.
Amen.
So that's.
I remember President Packer saying we live far below our privileges of inspiration. Now, that doesn't mean there will be times where we feel like we need the answer now and God's waiting, because sometimes that happens. And I know people who maybe that happened for a couple of years, or he's not going to give them the answer on that, but that something else will happen. Right. But there are, I think, far more times when he's anxious to give us an answer, and often, so often through the scriptures, or we read the scriptures in the spirit, teaches us while we read them, that we're not expecting it, so we don't give him the chance.
Yeah, absolutely. And even in those situations where he makes us wait, I can't think of a single time in my life when I haven't opened the scriptures looking for an answer and I haven't gotten something. Maybe not like that, telling me, no, actually, you need to do this now. But I would get something like, the Lord is aware of you.
Yeah.
Or he hears your cries. Or something about waiting upon the Lord. There's going to be something that you glean that is an answer of sorts. And I just, it's a miracle. It's really amazing. So
that's wonderful. And one thing I hear you doing is like accepting the answers as they come. I know sometimes like the answer isn't what I want, so I'm not going to see it. Because okay, I'm waiting for the real answer, God. But anyway, no, that's just take what he gives us. Anyway, that's beautiful and wonderful.
So that's my favorite thing about the scriptures is finding things that are so personal to us. When they were written so many thousands of years ago for all of history, you know, all the people who have ever lived, who will ever live, and yet they are profoundly personal, or they can't be if you allow them to be.
Yeah. So. And I have to tell you how much I admire you that not only do you have you followed that in a number of cases, but in the case of starting this Instagram page and that you're now on, I think you said 3 years of every day. I mean, that's tough. I do, you know, I have time set aside for this professionally to do this. And I've had times where I've tried to said, like, I'm going to post something good on social media 3 times a week. And I couldn't keep it up for more than 3 weeks. I am now trying, we'll see how long it goes, but trying to do like a good little daily thought that goes on a website I have. It's a Patreon website, but anyway, TSAR, which stands for the Scriptures Real, TSAR.website, and you can get a daily thought there. It wouldn't happen if I didn't have someone that, like, when I have a chunk of time, I'll just record a whole bunch, and then I have to have someone else edit and post it because I can't be consistent the way you're consistent. So I'd love to hear a little bit, like, how do you come up with your thoughts? How do you make sure you're doing it every day? I would guess that you're getting some inspiration and direction at least from time to time on that. But I'd love to hear that process because to me, it's something that I have wanted to do and I can't. I know I can't do what you do, right? And we each have our gifts, right? I can write and tell you about how this Hebrew word turns into this and helps us understand that. But I can't post something on Instagram every day. It's beyond, I've tried and it is beyond my capability. So I'd love to hear how you do that.
Well, I think it helps that I do have a little extra time. I work part time, and all my kids are in school, right? So I do.
Yeah, but life still happens, right?
Life still happens. Yeah, that's true. It's true. I'm always on high alert for great quotes. I always, as we read scriptures together as a family at night, my focus is what could I share from this. So I'll pause and highlight things that are meaningful to me that I know I can then turn into a daily message, a little devotional of some sort. I read a lot. I spend a lot of time reading conference talks, or I'm really into BYU speeches right now. And oftentimes in those talks, they have footnotes, they have references, they have other places that we can go. And I have found that when it starts getting really hard to create content, I've realized that those are the times when my personal study, whether it's scriptures or otherwise, has gone down. When I'm not making the time for my personal study and for having moments with God where he can guide and inspire me and put thoughts into my mind, that's when it gets hard to create content. But when I take the time to connect with him and study his word, either through modern day prophets or through ancient scripture, it's not hard to keep it up because there's always guidance and inspiration coming. It's when I get lazy on my studies that it starts to get difficult.
Well,
not that you're lazy.
I probably
<You're>
am,
not.
but I know what you mean, but no, I think this is a calling that you've been given and so you're helped with it and it blesses all of us, but I'm so impressed that you're able to do that. And, I know it blesses the lives of lots and lots and lots of people, and I hope this helps it bless the lives of even more. So, I mean, it's easy for people to just go if they have an Instagram account, to just go and follow Seeking Diligently. Did I say it right? Well, Seeking underscore Diligently. But I think if you just search for Seeking Diligently, I think that's what I did, is just search for that and it came up. I think people will just find it and they'll be blessed by it. So
I hope so. I hope so. It's funny. I kind of, like I said, when you start preparing a message or a lesson, you glean so many things. And I just feel like if I had zero followers, if nobody knew about me, I have grown so much in the last 3 years by allowing my brain to work this way and to open up my heart to be this, you know, conduit and receive guidance to know what to talk about, what to teach people about. And interestingly, somebody said, why did you take it to Instagram? I had started with these study guides, right? At the time, I had a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old. Anyway, they wanted Instagram. And we said no forever. And actually, we still didn't let the younger one get it. But my 16-year-old, my son, was like, Mom, please, I'm 16. Can I please have Instagram? And I finally made him a deal. You know, we had all these parameters, time limits and whatnot. But I said, you have to read my post every day. I'll let you have Instagram if you read my posts every single day. And if I like pop quiz you at dinner, I want a good answer back. I want to make sure. And I realized I'm giving, this is like a gift to my children. I want them to read my testimony every single day. And that's like this really great byproduct for me. So that's the other part of my motivation, I guess.
That's powerful. And what a powerful way to bear testimony to your children. I mean, probably we all should say, okay, whatever you're doing, I'm going to be posting stuff and I want you to see it and talk to me. I think that's great. And that reminds me of another thing. I think we underestimate how much good we can do by putting good content out that youth and young adults can access. The world's producing content, and it's producing all sorts of gobbledygook and garbage. And they will, the way the algorithms are written, they know that negative stuff is more addictive. And so they try and get lots of negative stuff in front of people so they'll get addicted. But the algorithms will also notice if you are going to a lot of positive things. So I'm going to suggest to all my audience, get your children or your grandchildren to follow Rachel and make them read what she will not make them invite them to read, but then quiz them as she did, and maybe find some other things like that, because the more they are using their social media to find positive things like what Rachel is doing, the more their social media will put positive things in front of them. And if we don't help them force it to be positive, it will by default end up being negative stuff that's put in front of them. And so, but the algorithms can be trained, like that little photo there is, can be trained to put positive stuff in front of them. So help them find positive things like Seeking Diligently, or you can go to the shorts on YouTube that the Scriptures Are Real puts out, or that kind of a thing, or we put them out on Instagram as well. Get your kids and your grandkids to click on those things, because the more often they click on them, the more they're going to be led to good things instead of bad things. And that's a powerful, powerful tool. And it helps us get rid of a powerful tool Satan has.
Yeah, absolutely. Can I tell you a secret?
Yeah.
I have regularly gotten onto my son's phone, which is in my desk drawer, since he's been gone. And I get onto his Instagram account and I go to the search feature and I type in temples. I type in LDS prophets. I type in all these things because I am purposefully curating his feed.
Perfect.
So that when he gets home this summer, he's going to pop open Instagram and his feed is going to be full of things that I chose for him.
That's what we should all be doing.
I've been sneaky. I threw in some rock climbing and some guitar chords. So he knows like other things he's interested in. But so much of what I've sort of searched on his phone is stuff that I want him to be seeing when he gets home. Because it's true. Those algorithms, they are curated to what you want. And when you're constantly searching for those things, scriptures, Bible verses, praise music, whatever it is that it's just Christianity at its core, that's what will come. That's what will pop. So,
yep. And I really do believe we should be not only, I mean, we might be needing to start out surreptitiously and maybe not, but we should with our kids as they have social media. And I don't know, each family has to decide when, right? Like I know our youngest child, He got a phone a little less than a year ago, and it was basically because he'd been made the secretary of the priest quorum, and he could not do everything he needed to do when he didn't have a phone, right? I mean, it just wasn't working. And we're like, okay, I
Yeah.
guess so you can
Time.
do your calling, which is actually the same reason we went from a flip phone to a smartphone for my wife. She was the secretary of the Relief Society presidency, and she literally couldn't do it with a flip phone. But anyway, so whatever reason you choose and whenever you choose for your children, when you do choose and when they have some social media, I highly or help your grandchildren and talk to your children about their children. I highly, highly, highly recommend help teaching them to curate good, because the negative is what will happen by default. If they don't, the psychologists that they've hired to help them addict people, and I mean, I'm not saying addict like the tobacco industry, but they do want more business, so they want you to be addicted to getting on, whether it's TikTok or Instagram or YouTube or whatever. They know that the brain is programmed to notice the negative more than the positive, because that's we need to know danger, right? We need to see that's a bear that might eat me, and so the brain is more attuned to that, and so the default is they'll start sticking negative stuff in front of you if you don't actively teach it to do positive. So have use Rachel's page and a whole bunch of other stuff to have our kids get positive things put in front of them, and that's why it's such a blessing to have people like you who are creating lots of good. I mean, 365 days a year you're creating good content, and that's a blessing to the world and to all of us who us or our family can be following it. So thank you, Rachel.
Thank you. That's kind. Yeah.
Well, bless you and bless everyone who's doing this good stuff. We hope that our audience has been uplifted hearing this, but also that you will share it in different ways, that you'll get more and more people that you're reaching out to and saying, follow this, get your kids to follow this, and talk to them about how we're trying to spread light and goodness and so on. And we hope you'll do that with the podcast as well. If you leave reviews, leave comments, the more comments that are left, the more reviews that are left. And remember that we've been encouraged to have our audiences interact with the things they're learning, and you can do that best by leaving comments. So leave comments, rates, reviews, downloads, all that kind of a thing. We'll invite you to come next week. Next week is just such a great reading chapter. We're doing 2 Nephi 31 through 33. And so that's the doctrine of Christ, one of my favorite topics. And so Sean Hopkin is my guest. This one is one where he has a certain set of things he likes to teach about, and I have a different set of things. And so we'll try and integrate it pretty well. We'll try and integrate it well. It may be somewhat integrated, somewhat not, but we'll teach you lots of things about the doctrine of Christ. I think we'll teach you some things you haven't thought of before. So make sure you tune in for that next week. I think it'll be enough. We'll have to do a two-part episode. And then Easter's coming up after that. So think about all the Easter stuff and what you can share with people for Easter, and including your friends who are Christian but not members of our church. We'd encourage you to think of that. I guess there's one last thing I should announce, that this week, let's see here, at the very end of this week, so some of you may be listening to this just too late or just when it's over, but February, or I mean March 16th, from 6:30 to 9 p.m. is when Gina Lynn Condi and I are doing our workshop on scripture study and how to get more out of your Book of Mormon scripture study. You can register for that at tsar.website. So that stands for the scriptures are real, but tsar, tsar.website. You go to the shop link, and you'll be able to see where you can reserve your space, either in person or via Zoom. So we got all sorts of stuff we're hoping helps you and edifies you. So we'll see you next week. And thank you again, Rachel. Thank you so much for what you do and for being with us here.
Well, thank you for having me.